Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
A rested child is a happy child. Sleep Tight Stories is a weekly podcast that brings comfort and joy to families worldwide with calming bedtime stories. The stories are relevant to children and spark wonder without overstimulation, so they can fall asleep and stay asleep. Listen to Sleep Tight Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. For a bedtime routine you'll miss when they're grown, Sleep Tight Stories.
Start up, start up. Start up, Brooklyn boys. Start up, Brooklyn boys. Start up, start up, start up. They making noise. Start up. Start up, start up, start up, start up, start up.
Episode 158. It's the Brooklyn Boys Podcast.
You messed up again 2 weeks in a row.
No, I didn't.
I sent you the Boys Are Back in Town jingle so that you could play it this week. I said, oh, we'll make up for it. A lot of people asked for it last week.
And they were but we're not back in town. We've been in town for like 2 weeks now. So I made
it. You don't know if I left town.
I made a conscious effort to, and a conscious decision to not play it. I knew it was there. I have it. I had it.
It was ready. I could have gone to Aruba. You don't know where I've been.
Yeah. In these COVID times. Come on, Brody.
come on. The next time we're on vacation is April? May? I mean,
we get off for MLK Day next week.
That's not a vacation. We're not missing a day.
The next time we miss a week, which will
be April or May.
No, it's February. We have President's Week off. The morning show, Elvis Duran, we will all be off for the week of President's Week. That's week of the 14th. That's Valentine's Day week. All right. What do you got? You got anything planned for Valentine's Day? What are your big plans there, Brody?
That was my plan. I just said.
You know what? This year, I might be joining you doing that because.
Yeah.
I mean, where am I going to go? I'm screwed. Yeah,
you can't take your girlfriend to a strip club or a Victoria's Secret fashion show. All the other big things you've done for your girlfriend on Valentine's Day.
Big holiday for me. They were all just created for Hallmark. I mean, let's face it.
Well, listen, last Valentine's Day was right before the pandemic shut everything down.
Yeah.
I mean, we were in the pandemic. But it hadn't gotten to pandemic levels.
We didn't even know it yet.
Speaking of which, we're a couple of months away from a year since we've been in studio.
Yeah.
And I think I talked about this. The day we got sent home, we all left at the same time. And Nate, who's one of the other producers on the show, was right behind me. And I rolled through a red light. I slowed down to like 2 miles an hour. There was no one on the street. There was no one on the street. Because it was a pandemic. So I was like, okay. And I signaled, I made a right because Nate was right behind me. I didn't want to stop short anyway. And the guy was on a scooter.
Yeah.
On the sidewalk.
Uh-huh.
Came flying around a turn, cut Nate off, almost caused an accident.
Was it like a Paul Blart mall cop kind of scooter?
No. It was a Lambretta. I believe that's the name of the company. Anyway, my father used to ride one, so shut your face. Anyway, so he gave me a ticket.
Hell, I'm not insulting you. I'm just...
No. So that was March of 20. My court date, because I pled not guilty, because if you plead not guilty, you can go to court, and 99.9% of the time, they'll let you plea bargain, pay the fine, and not get any points. Because I told the officer, I don't want to rehash you guys all heard this. You listen in order. Anyway, the court date got bumped from, I want to say July to October, and then from October... to February, next month.
Now, when does it go from February to thrown away? Because it's just...
It went from February now to July or August. So it'll be a year and a half almost from the time I went got the ticket before I go to court. If they honor that court
date. You ready to defend yourself in court?
Dude, I've defended myself in court before. I was pre-law. I'm great. I haven't lost yet.
You know who else defended themselves in court? The dating game killer.
Yeah, well.
I mean, you got to have some set of balls and be some kind of psychopath.
Well, lots of the crazies do that.
To defend yourself in court.
But that's right. Other crazy people have done that. They all lose. And by the way, if there's one guy who did it and won, you don't have to tweet me. But most of them lose.
How do you keep up with all that paperwork and all the cross-examination? I mean, you're destined to, like, choke up or hang yourself or perjury or something.
Nobody knows your case better than you. But there's a guy on TikTok. I think his name is Internet Lawyer or Lawyer Explainer, something like that.
Lawyer?
Yeah, it's a good-looking guy.
Right.
Anyway, he'll explain whatever's going on in the world. So, like, he'll explain the impeachment trial going on. But a couple of days ago, the lawyers for one of the guys that attacked the Capitol, right? I think it was the podium guy. Mm-hmm. The guy who took Speaker Pelosi's podium and then waved, like, oh, I got the podium, and then put it on eBay.
Yeah.
I mean, at that point, you're begging to get caught, right? So his lawyers, who, by the way, they're not the best lawyers in the world.
It was a replica.
Yeah. They're not the best lawyers in the world.
Right.
I mean, granted, this guy's not going to hire, like, New York slick, you know, $10,000 a day lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
But their lawyers have been going on TV shows and podcasts and cable news to defend him.
Right.
But you can't defend him because he did it. So they're saying things like, well, yeah, he was in the Capitol and he had the podium. But he didn't do worse things, right? Anyway, this internet lawyer was analyzing their press conference they held today, where they're basically admitting everything. And he's yelling at the video going, don't say that! Don't say it! Just say no comment!
Oh, the TikTok guy.
The TikTok guy.
Yeah.
So he's a lawyer. So he's on the top of the screen, split screen, and they're on the bottom.
Remember the old show Mystery Science Theater 3000 where they would watch like a really shitty film from like the 60s and 70s?
I was talking about MST3K just yesterday with my friend Jeff.
And
MST3K.
Like in case you didn't know, they would sit in the movie theater
and they would see the silhouettes.
And then they would throw in voiceover comments about what the hell's going on the screen and how preposterous it looks. And
it's like watching a picture show where you yell at the screen.
They would do it.
Brilliant commentary
right.
that they wrote pre, you know, it wasn't.
I feel like TikTok lawyer guy on the internet is doing the same thing as they did.
Every time they answered a question, he's like, you don't say that. You don't say, even if they have proof, you don't admit it. They're like, well, yeah, he was holding the podium.
Right.
I'm like, shut up.
Well, I'm just trying to put this together as a visual, Bernie.
I want to see if I could find it. If I liked the video, then I'll play the audio. Let me see if I can find the audio here.
And some people will defend anyone, if you think about it.
Some lawyers, it's your job.
Some lawyers are real sleazebags. They're like, whatever. Right. I know I'm gonna win either way. You know, they win because they get the money, you know? They get paid, right? Where were we?
Well, I was trying to find the video. I think I liked it. If I liked it, then I'll be able to play the sound because I didn't save it in my favorites.
Yeah.
So let me see. It says only you can see which videos you liked. Yes, I'm me. What are you doing? That's weird.
What? It doesn't think it's you?
Oh, the hell with this. I don't know. It doesn't. Yeah, it won't show my likes.
I had a major scare yesterday on Instagram. Out of nowhere, Brody. My follower count went from 189,000 to 195,000, and then it showed me following 300 more people than I really was following. It did it on its own. I contacted our boy Tony in who runs social. I'm like, dude, what is going on? My Instagram is possessed. He said, you know something? I thought it was taken over by people. He said to me, it's probably a bunch of bots. He says you probably gave a very spammy app permission to use your Instagram.
Maybe.
And then he says, so anyway, if you have a problem with Instagram and things look weird, the best thing to do is to log on to Instagram on your computer. Who knew? You can log on your computer.
Of course, I do that.
Yeah, I you know, but most people just, they associate it with their phone and that's the end of it. And it doesn't even like you to open it any other way. Because even if you try and open it online, like through Safari or one of these, or Internet Explorer on your phone, it immediately goes to the apps. Like, don't you mean you want to open it here? So it's like, it's tough. But no, anyway, truth
Android,
be told,
you can set it not to do that. So,
well, in truth be told, if you go open your Instagram from the web browser, you can actually revoke access to all these other apps from the past that have access.
Yeah, Facebook does that too.
We'll revoke all the access, and then guess what? Your problem goes away, and that's exactly what happened.
I used my unfollow app to see who unfollowed me on Twitter recently, and I had like 400 unfollows. So bye-bye to the 120 that were like legitimate followers. I'm sorry, but a lot of them were like suspended accounts.
Well, that's it. So, it's a lot of bots. There are a lot of bots. Right. I was told that
they're silencing my First Amendment. I'm just kidding.
Bots.
Okay, I found the lawyer.
Yeah.
He's DJ Legal Eagle. Let me see if I can play the audio here. Hold on.
DJ Legal Eagle?
Yeah. Why is it not playing the audio? Well, that's weird. Hmm. Am I on Bluetooth still? Let me take it off Bluetooth.
Okay. Gee, I could have pulled it up from here on my Bluetooth. We could have made it sound crystal clear and stereo with my $6,430 system.
What are you saying? $3.7 million. I think that's what
it is. Is that what it is? What is it? The lotto? It goes up every time we talk about it?
Yes, of course it goes up every time. Yes, absolutely.
It's not worth that much.
Okay, here it is. Hold on.
You have to, you know, factor into is again.
Oh, here we go. I'll get the beginning.
Okay, fine. I'll watch it. Part of what you have to, you know, factor into is again, you just have to drill down on what actually happened. You have a photograph of our client, you know, in a building. Why are you
admitting that? You don't have to admit the authenticity.
I'm unauthorized to be there with.
Why are you admitting that?
It would appear to be a podium or a lectern. I'm not exactly sure which one it is called.
It's a lectern.
But that's what we have. Obviously, that presents problems for you as a defense attorney in that you have your client in the building at the time of the break-in.
I don't know how to else explain that, but yeah, that would be a problem. I'm not a magician, and neither is Mr. Digney. So yeah, we've got a photograph of our client.
I mean, he's not wrong. That is a huge freaking problem.
This is so Mystery Science Theater.
So
that is exactly what that is.
So it's sort of like Brady Bunch style, where he's in the box above and he's looking down.
Does this the guy's like, well, hysterical?
But the lawyer actually goes, "Well, there's a picture of him holding the lectern inside the Capitol. I guess that's a problem." He's like, "Yes, that's
so."
A problem.
Let me. Does this guy do this a lot of stuff? I mean, or is he just? Is he like the internet TikTok lawyer that everybody goes?
He's on. Apparently, he's the YouTube lawyer, and he does.
I love it.
YouTube videos.
I love it. I gotta follow this guy.
DJ Legal Eagle.
DJ Legal Eagle. All right, we should seek him out. Maybe get him on the show.
He, anything going on in the world, he explains. But this particular one, he's yelling at them, going, "Don't say that."
You know, I did make a reference to the dating game Killer, but I want to let you know that you got to watch it, Brody. Oh my God, I'm obsessed. It was on ABC on 2020 last week, and it takes you through, if you don't know what the dating game was, it was a popular game in the 70s where a bachelorette would choose three eligible bachelors and by asking them questions but not seeing them. But the audience got to see everybody, so that was the fun part. And at the end, the one she picks, she gets to meet live on stage, really cute, and then they send them away to Tahiti or some stupid place, Acapulco. Well, the dating game Killer was a guy, a serial killer from the 70s, similar to like the ones you know, like the Son of Sam's of the world and these, you know, these other ones. He was so brazen. He was already 10 years into his killing spree, and the motherfucker turns out, he's so sure of himself, he gets on the dating game and he goes on national TV and he wins. And then he continues on his, he never went on the date and he didn't kill that girl, thankfully. But he goes on and continues on this killing spree all around America. And this was at a time before DNA testing. And they show how they pieced it all together and how these little clues here and there. But he would murder people in the most, like, bludgeon them in the most gory ways. Anyway, I you know me, Brody. I don't like this shit. I don't even watch TV. But I was sucked in because I was watching Shark Tank last week. And then it rolled. It did that thing where it rolled right into the next program. And within 3 minutes, I was hooked.
Oh, so, you got overlapping credits scambonied.
Right, while the credits are rolling, or they're showing you pictures and video of, like, you know, outtakes and stuff of the scene of the end, they roll in the next show. That's
so
like,
you're like, how am I
watching this? Yeah, but Brody, definitely watch it. I think it's right up your
definitely
alley.
Not going to.
Why not?
Because I have 73 shows ahead of it in what I want to watch.
make it skip the line.
I gotta watch Queen's Gambit. I gotta watch the second season of Umbrella Academy.
What determines the pecking order of your 73 shows?
Okay. So I have a ton of shows on my DVRs that I'm behind on. I'm two seasons behind on Westworld. That's more important to me. WandaVision's coming out on Marvel on Disney Plus on Friday. Got to watch that before everything. Star Wars and Marvel jump to the head. I got to start watching Schitt's Creek. I'll start from season two.
You'll never watch this. You'll never watch it.
A lot of shows.
Never watch it.
I said that. Never watch it. It's not on my. But the thing about Dating Game, and just again, if you haven't seen, just go look up online The Dating Game. Watch clips on YouTube. It was either a bachelorette or a bachelor, a guy or a girl,
yeah,
who would ask questions of three people of the opposite sex.
I just said the same thing while you were searching for that video.
Right. But here's the thing. Some people who are now big celebrities went on that show before they were celebrities.
Yes.
Either they did it to get like TV exposure.
Right.
Or they were looking to get a date. So people like Steve Martin, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Farrah Fawcett, Tom Selleck, John Ritter, Sally Field.
Yes.
A lot of them. Michael Richards from Kramer, you know.
And the Dating Game Killer.
Kirstie Alley.
And the Dating Game Killer.
Kirstie Alley.
Yeah.
Kirstie Alley was on Dating Game.
Yes.
She was also on Match Game.
Oh, wow.
Like, she was a game show whore, so to speak.
Oof.
You can say whore. I'm not calling her a whore. She was a game show addict.
Yeah.
Back in the day before she was famous.
So you know what this...
But again, I wonder if... Yeah. Sorry?
No, you know what this reminds me of.
I wonder if she was... What does it remind you of?
It reminds me of the time when I went on Blind Date.
Oh, my God.
A lot of people don't know this, and you can Google it. It's out there. It's on YouTube. Skeery Jones on Blind Date. And I went on a date I went on a TV show. If you remember, it was popular in the 2000s. Early 2000s, where again they would set someone up on a date, and then cameras would follow us to dinner, and then hopefully to the hot tub late at night, whatever, and then hopefully it turns sexy and things like that, and then they have us back on to talk about our experiences and if we'd go out with the person again. Well, I went on the show just for, hey, what the hell? I don't care. I'm single and I want to go on because you know it's an expansion of the Elvis Durant.
You uttered the famous line that we play all the time on the Elvis show, which we don't have the clip for here, but the girl said, what do you do for a living? And you said, Skeery,
I'm a DJ. I'm a radio personality.
You are neither of those things.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so, but my larger point is I later come to find out, here comes the spoiler, that at the end of the date, after all was said and done, we exchanged numbers. She was nothing more than a wannabe Hollywood actress. And that was her thing. She would actually do the circuit. So there was games called Fifth Wheel. There was all those dating games of the time, like the Love Connections.
Right, they're all fake.
She would turn up on all these shows just to get FaceTime for 30 minutes on a syndicated TV show.
Of course, she
wasn't really wanting to date Skeery Jones or even the guy behind Skeery Jones. She just wanted,
what you're using as your excuse to why she didn't want to date you?
Well, I'm just
is
saying.
Is that what you're going with?
I'm going with that because
she clearly didn't want to date me because she was looking for celebrity attention.
No, but the people of that era, and again, I'm sure this still exists, like The Bachelor that's on TV right now.
Of course.
Their real motive, their big agenda is to really just become famous and get on, hopefully someone discovers them that way, and then they get their own film or sitcom. Yeah. But I don't think life works that way these days. Maybe in the 70s it did.
I'll go one better for you. So, you know those Maury shows and what's the guy's name? With the glasses.
Jerry Springer.
Jerry Springer. All those people that go on, most of them, they're like, I broke up my husband, or all those people who go on, like look like trash. A lot of them are actors. So when I used to do comedy in my sketch comedy group, and we used to perform, a lot of the comics I worked with, like Lisa Lampanelli, good friend of mine, right? Her husband went on, I think Springer or one of them, with another comic who was in my group, my friend Carrie.
Yeah.
They went on as a couple who was having marital problems or something, but they weren't. They were just given a script and they went up and acted it.
And they weren't even related to each other.
Right. My friend Craig, who I talked about last week, by the way, I promoted his video off the cuff, his healthy cooking show on YouTube.
Yeah.
Most watched episode so far for him.
Good.
So thank you, Slices, that checked it out. A bunch of you tweeted at me and commented. Leave comments on his YouTube page that I sent you.
And make sure to hit the subscribe button.
Like and subscribe. I'm in the video a couple of times.
Good.
He used some of my outtakes from my top five list.
Right.
He actually used top, but he didn't use my foot joke, unfortunately. But it's worth watching. He's a good guy, right. And it's entertaining.
Not anyway, a struggling actor trying to make it big. He just has an innocent cooking show.
No. He is a struggling actor trying to make it big. He also has a YouTube channel. Yes, he's a comedian.
Right.
He moved out to L.A. for pilot season like 12, 15 years ago.
He wants to be Dane Cook? Seinfeld? What does he want to do?
No, he's an actor. He's been in a couple of independent films. He's been in commercials. He's been on SNL in the background.
Okay. I stand corrected.
He's been on Law & Order. He's been on some shows. He's an actor, yeah.
All right, well, watch his YouTube channel.
But he's also my buddy. So,
YouTube can make people famous. I mean, they made a lot of people famous.
A lot of people famous. Absolutely.
A lot of people famous.
Speaking of famous, last week I told you how the other David Brody went on television and I got shit for it.
I'm Dave Brody. Yes, I'm the real Brody. The other Dave Brodies are just imitating. Will the real Dave Brody please stand up?
Yep.
That would be you.
And again, quick reminder, I wrote the Greg Brady, Barry Williams parody to that he performed. On the American Music Awards, maybe?
Yeah, you don't have to remind him.
He didn't give me any money for that. Anyway, so that David Brody, the Christian Broadcasting Network Fox News guy, so he's got a different, he has David Brody CBN, I believe, right? Christian Broadcasting Network is his name?
Yeah.
I'm at David Brody. Okay. Now, if you're at David Brody and you and a new app opens up, you take your name, right? You take the same
Always.
Name. Always. Always. So there's an app that's been getting a lot of attention. It's sort of, let's say, an alternative to Facebook for some people who have some alternative ideas of social media.
It already got dropped off of app stores.
It just got dropped from app stores, right? It begins with a P. Anyway, he, of course, has an account on that app. But instead of using at David Brody CBN, he took at David Brody.
Perfect.
Now, scary. Scary, I know you always say
this is so fitting, by the way. I love this. This is pure torture for you.
Yes. I know when you say, like, a new app comes out, I rush to get my name.
I always rush to get my name.
Whether it's I got on Triller, I got on a Stereo, whatever the app is, I get at David Brody.
I don't care if the app's going to be a failure, if it's Keek, if it's the new Line app, or if it's Feed with a PH. I got to go on there and claim the name. Claim the name.
I did not get TikTok, but I'm going to get it because the guy doesn't use it.
You got to go on quick.
I know. I'm going to power struggle him. I'm going to get it. So anyway, so people started tweeting I already said the name. Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
The comments you would find on that app at me asking if I was the one from the guy they wanted. Yeah. And they're like, this is you on, right? So I tweeted at him and I said, hey man, other David Brody, can you please keep your screen names consistent?
Yeah.
Because you took my screen name from all social media and used it on that other app.
Yeah.
And now you're just opening both of us up for more confusion.
Right.
He hasn't tweeted me back yet.
It would actually behoove a person to just stay consistent. If you, let's say you get John_Mahoney. You got that. Okay. And it happens to be that's what you got on Instagram. And then you want to join other ones. Even if John Mahoney is available, be John_Mahoney everywhere. So this way, it's just one message, right? I don't know.
Yeah, or take both of them so that if people make a mistake, you still see that they hit you up. Okay. Yeah, so anyway, so I'm looking forward to if that app ever resurfaces, I'll have more stories for everyone. So I did not get the name on that app. There you go.
Oh, good. Very, very nice. Here we are on a Wednesday night doing this again because we want to. Now we did on Monday night. We got to talk about that really quick. Yep. On Monday night.
Great time and I fucked up. Scary and I did a live show. We told you last week.
Yes.
Now, keep in mind, there are many 6-digit slices, okay, that listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
Again, we were top five of the iHeartRadio countdown. 87 of you, roughly.
Yeah, 87 live at the peak at the time.
At the peak, in the room. There's about 120
listening at the time of the live, because we did this live.
Right. Loved it. Loved the show we did.
Yep.
In fact, we're going to post the audio as a bonus podcast for you later in the week. So you'll have a second episode. It's over an hour. You'll enjoy it. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Where people got to interact and ask us questions, whatever.
Right.
However, there's a contest going on this app because it's new and they're trying to encourage people to get listeners. So whoever has the most...
And by the way, anybody can enter it. Like you listening right now could go on, start a quick podcast with somebody else on and see how many, and enter this contest.
But wait till we win. So the top 10 highest listenerships at any moment win money, right?
Yeah.
I think we told you we won $100 last week because we had 28 on the first episode we did, right? Right. So at the peak, we had 87 listeners, which is nice. It's fine.
And we controlled the leaderboard at the of that time. Right.
Right. Now, listen, if all the slices listened at one point, we would dominate. And the main prize is like $100,000. We could easily get to the second place, 50,000 or third, whatever it is. Right.
But for where we were. Yeah.
If you guys all went to the app and we said we're going to be there Monday and you did it, we would. Anyway. So those of you that showed up, we had a great time with you. Somebody has a crush on me, left me 3 voicemails.
Right. Oh, no.
That's great.
Yeah. OK. Are you getting to the part where you fucked up?
Yes, I'm getting to it right now.
Okay. But because we were in contention for, let's say it, $5,000 each.
$5,000. $5,000.
Brody and I had to...
We were in third place.
We would have won 10 grand.
Right. If we held the number one spot. Okay. So,
by the way, that would be fucking amazing if that happened. I didn't even expect it. That's not why we did this, by the way.
Right. I'm a fan of comedian Jeff Ross. You know him as the Roast Master General on Comedy Central. And I think I told the story how I met him at a pool. And he was like, oh, great. Yeah, right. I told it last week. So I went and I listened to the podcast for about an hour that he was doing with his buddy. And I won't say podcast, the live show they did on the app, on the Stereo app. This was Monday after we got off the air. And after our show ended. So at the height of their show, they had 28 listeners. But they had like 700 people listening, but people listened for a minute. Tune out.
Doesn't matter.
So 28 people. I listened for an hour. I sent him some messages. I made him laugh. He followed me. He's like, this guy, David Brody, he's funny. I'm following him. Him laugh. I even told him the story in the recorded message about how he met me and kind of like was like, okay, great. Okay.
But you have to picture this. We are in the lead with 87 listeners.
Okay. All right. Very good.
Right.
So Tuesday, I go to Costco with my friend Jeff and I'm telling him about the Stereo app, whatever. And
all right, Brody, cut to the part. Come on, man.
So I open the app and I said, look, this is a show going on right now. It's Jeff Ross. He's on again.
Let's listen in.
Let's listen in. So I listen for a second, but I don't pay attention.
Right. And now you're registered as a listener, a live listener.
Right, right. So I get off real quick and I show him the leaderboard and it shows that Jeff Ross has now 88 listens. I put him over the top. My stupid putting him on for a second at the wrong time moved him up 88 over
Brody
87.
Brody was the 88th listener to just enter the room. I was like, boing, what's this?
So it moved us down $1,000.
No, $3,000.
No, from 5,000 to 4,000 at the time.
No.
At the time. Now someone else has 288 and we moved down again.
Oh, no, we're now back to $1,000. See, the thing is it's almost like, I'm not going to say it's a scamboni, but it's like they want you to kind of achieve to the top and just keep doing shows.
Right, now that you can't add two together.
Guarantee you by the end of the week we're going to be down to like $100 each. Guaranteed.
It doesn't matter. The point is,
you were the one who made Jeff Ross have 88 live listeners. Right.
And now I'm afraid to open the app. I'm afraid to open the app because at any moment it might be when he's on. And I don't want to count.
Well, he's on right now. Don't open the app. Because if it opens the app and you count it as another listener, you can be fucking us again.
We are down to 10.
Of course we are. 10 and 11.
Because Adam Carolla had 88.
Adam Carolla entered the chat.
So, yeah. So Adam Carolla did a show. I could see who he did the show with. Because the two guys, Jeff Ross and his partner, and Adam Carolla and his partner, both had 88. So the four of them are ahead of us. And we're at 87.
It's not going to happen.
The good news is the 88 and the 87 are both at 1,000. Right. So I've now no longer cost us any money.
Congratulate. There you go.
Thank you. Brody. I feel better.
Okay, good.
But I was like, oh my God.
I know. That was very funny.
I don't know who this person is in the lead. I'm not going to promote them like you would. But I'm looking at the two people in the lead.
Yeah.
And they're like, they got a podcast. We have a kick-ass podcast.
All right. So in summation, and we're going to move on past this. And by the way, we were not, just so you know, we didn't even know there was a contest going on for money. We just fell into that. We wanted to do this for the slices. So we ended up having a great time. It's a live podcast. And the best part of it is you get to drop in audio voicemails. So you press a button, you leave a quick voicemail, it comes to us, and then we play it out live and listen with all the rest of the listeners listening live on the podcast. It's like taking phone calls.
And I don't know what, I don't know when we're going to have time to do it again, but we're going to post the show a couple of days from now. So you'll have
if you do go on the app, it's the stereo app, and follow us on there. Just so you know, so the next time that we go on, we're all cocked and loaded, and you'll get a notification when we go live.
It'll be a few weeks.
It may be a few weeks, right. But we're trying to work some stuff out.
All right.
We have to take a quick break, and then we're going to get into...
Yeah, I'm going to tell you what happened at Roots Chris Steakhouse when we come back.
My mouth is watering because I love there. Oh, yeah.
Scary and Brody.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I can think about
Not
it.
Not a sponsor.
Oh my! Hold on a second. Okay. I have to have a moment with... Oh, yeah. The sweet potato crack casserole. So good.
Okay, that's what I was going there for.
Oh, really?
So again, just as a reminder to people, it's Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Ruth bought the Chris Steakhouse in New Orleans. Or New Orleans or New Orleans. So it's Ruth's.
Ruth's.
It's not Ruth Chris.
Of course.
It's Ruth's.
Right. Okay. And then she had a baby named Baby Ruth.
That's a candy bar. All right. All right. So my wife was making steak over the weekend. And so she says, we should get the side dishes from Ruth's Chris. Can you go pick them up?
I thought you were the side dish.
No, those days are over. All right. So two of my daughters love the sweet potato casserole, as do I.
Yeah.
So we're like, I'll go get the sweet potato casserole, some little potatoes au gratin.
So good. A
couple of things.
Tried to do it at home once. I fucked it up.
All right. So the way the app works is you order the food, you go to the location, okay. And when you get there, you click the link in the email they send you. It tells them you're here, and they bring the food out. So I park by the entrance. Now, this particular Ruth's Chris is inside a hotel, okay?
Yep.
In New Jersey.
Yep.
And when you go in, there's a little lobby. You know how, like, you go into places, there's doors that open automatically?
Yes.
And then there's, like, 10 feet of a little lobby, and then a second door opens?
Always.
This way the wind doesn't blow into the lobby?
Correct.
Okay. In that, so I'm parked facing, I'm off to the side, so I can see people walking in, but I can't see in the doors. I'm perpendicular to the opening of the place, right? And I'm watching people go in, And they're not bringing my food out. I hit the button. They're not bringing my food out. So everybody who's walking in, they get out of their cars and they're putting their masks on as they walk into the vestibule so that they're ready to go once they get into the second door for the hotel or the restaurant. I don't know where they're going. After a few minutes, this family, woman and her kids walk by, and this big, fat, mean-looking guy is, I guess he was locking up the car. He's walking about 10 feet behind them. They have their masks on. He doesn't. And I see him walk in. I'm like, oh, I hope that guy isn't an anti-masker. He's going to cause a problem.
Oh, boy.
Because I don't want to walk into the restaurant and have him be a fight going on. So they walk in, and out of the corner of the window of the front doors, I see something is now on the floor. Something white. There's a white sign or like cardboard or something on the floor that like I could see it fly to the floor. I'm like, wonder what the hell that is. So I wait a couple more minutes. And I go, nobody, and so I go, you know what? I'm going to go get my own food. I'm just going to go in. It's right inside. So I got out of the car, put my mask on, of course. And as I walk in, there's two easels. The easel on the right has like a cardboard sign on it. Whatever it said, I don't remember. And the easel on the left has no sign. There's a sign on the floor, face down.
Ah.
I immediately knew what the sign said. I picked up the sign and it said, masks are required for all guests of the hotel and the restaurant. So let me get that effect.
Okay.
This guy decided he didn't want to wear a mask and hates the law and threw the sign down on the ground.
Ah.
How about that?
How about that?
So I go, oh my God, I hope he went to the hotel because now I got to walk into the restaurant. So I put the sign back on the easel and I think he may have broken something because it wasn't staying up. I don't have time to fix their easel. It's not
Once
my
again,
easel.
You have that kind of problem too.
Why? Oh, yeah. So I take the sign into the restaurant, and there's the guy being shown to his table in like a back room.
Oh.
I said, excuse me, are you the manager? I'm here to pick up my food. Oh, yeah, what's your name? Give him the name. And the food is sitting there.
You throw this guy under the bus?
Hold on. I said, well, here's your mask sign. Oh, what happened? I said, well, that guy you just sat, that big guy, he just knocked it off the easel, and now I think the easel's broken. I can't put it back up. And he's like, you sure? I go, yeah, I saw him do it. I go, is he wearing a mask? Goes, well, we asked him to put one on and he did. I said, okay. Well, I'm just letting you know he knocked your sign down.
Right. You threw him under the bus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely, because he's a prick. You want to disagree with stuff, you don't break it. You don't do that.
Yeah.
And besides, I wanted my food and I didn't want to leave the sign on the floor. So I was doing the right thing.
Yeah, no, I know. I would have picked it up anyway. I mean, you don't want to just
leave
it there.
I'm not
going
to tell him I broke the sign. I'm like that big dude. Right. But you know what? He was like, okay, well, all right, thanks. But he had that look on his face like, dude's big, not saying a word.
Mm-hmm.
Like he did not, like if he was a scrawny guy.
Yeah, let's be clear. Yeah. As you were walking out towards your car, that's when you looked back and said, it was the guy back there, just so you got you got a head start into the parking lot.
Absolutely. So
it was him.
If you know that guy, not cool. That's not cool.
Well, whatever.
So anyway.
Yeah. I mean, listen, anyway. People are going to be shitheads. What are you going to? You can't be. We can't be the police for everybody. We can't.
Well, speaking of the police, I did have a police involved. I have three cars, right? My daughter drives a car. My wife and I both have cars.
You're rich.
Dude, we are not rich. Don't say that. They are not expensive cars.
I know.
I mean, they're moderately nice, but they're not. I don't drive cars like you do.
I don't. Please.
Okay.
Come on.
Oh, please. You have a beautiful Lexus.
Please.
Okay.
All right. Please.
All right. So my daughter in her car in November, right? End of November, around Thanksgiving.
I think we talked about this.
Somebody hit her car. Yep. Right. I had the dents fixed by a dent place that was it's fantastic. Fantastic dent place. They took the dents off for a couple $100. It looks brand new. It's fantastic. My wife had a Hyundai, and it needed some work. So we took it to the garage, the gas station, rather, near our house. The guy's fantastic, does great work. And he's like, oh, drop it off the night before, leave the keys in the drop box. I'll work on the car first thing in the morning, and you'll have it by the end of the day. It's not a big repair. Great, no problem. So I get a phone call. You know where the bays are? He has three bays. Where you pull the car into? That's called a bay. And they shut the door and they put you on the lift?
Yes.
So I guess they were so overwhelmed with work that they had put my car outside one of the bays, right? So the nose of my car was against the door that goes up.
Mm-hmm.
like ready to go into the next bay.
Yep.
But there was someone working on my car on the outside in the cold because they were overwhelmed in the three bays they have.
Right.
To the right of where the cars are is parking spaces, and the last parking space is an air hose where you put air in your tire. My phone rings about 1:30, 2 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. As you're watching your car getting repaired.
Well, I wasn't watching my car, but my car is getting repaired.
Yeah, right.
He calls me and says, I just want you to know I have everything on video. We have security cameras. What are you talking about? A woman backed up into your car. I'm so sorry. I was under the hood.
Wait,
she
what?
Backed up into the car.
While it was getting fixed?
Yes. Yes.
Twice?
As my car is getting an oil change and a slight adjustment to the air conditioning.
Bad luck, Brody.
This woman, so I go flying there. I go, I'll be right there. He goes, I got the woman. I called the police for you. She can't leave. We have her blocked in. And she's trying to escape? Well, she was trying to say, like, I got to tell my husband. Like, she was playing the husband call.
Yeah, okay. You'll never see her again.
No. So they wouldn't let her leave.
They trapped her in the garage. They shut the door on both sides.
Right. Well, no, they got her in the parking lot. They pulled the car. Okay. So I get there before the police arrive. And he says to me, that's the woman. So I said, what did you do? I don't understand. So I'm sorry. Before I got there, he sends me the video. The video is like slow motion death. Like you see her backing up into my car, and you want to pause it and like, don't hit my car. She slammed into the right rear of my wife's car.
Ugh.
She backed up like 15 feet straight back into the car. She's driving a Lexus SUV, maybe.
Yeah.
Right, a nice car. Right? It's nice. Yeah. It has a backup camera. I said, how could you hit my car? Like, it's not raining. It's parked. How did you? She says, the backup camera didn't beep, so I didn't know there was anything behind me.
Oh.
So I go, you have a backup camera? You're waiting for the beep?
She was there to get it repaired.
Yeah. She was putting air in her tire. And she backed straight up.
Ugh.
Never looked over her shoulder.
Ugh.
Glanced. She didn't look at the camera.
Right.
She has a backup. She didn't look.
Yeah.
It wasn't like she turned at an angle. She went straight back.
Or she works for them, and now they got more business out of
you. No,
your car's here. Let's fix it. Or
they're not the body shop.
She's a paid actress.
They're not the body shop.
I don't know.
They're the repair place. It's a gas station. So I had to get that taken care of. I had to get the car fixed. I didn't get my car repaired, but she hit me. I had to go to the police precinct and get the report. And then I had to get, and now her company is Geico. My company is Geico, right?
Yeah.
So I said to Geico, look, I'm telling you now, I'm putting my wife in a rental car. I want a nice rental car for the inconvenience. I want nicer than what she has. And
did they hook it up?
Hold on. And I said, and you're paying for my satellite radio, which I've told this story before. The last couple of times my cars got hit, I made them pay for my satellite radio.
You are a piece of work.
So I said, now, right. And the last time I had the big fight was with Geico because Geico hit me once before. I said, I'm your customer. You're going to take care of me. So I got into a little debate, and they said, okay, fine. Like, they wanted me to stop. So they said, we'll pay for your satellite radio. Okay, great. So I had the car fixed, no problem, whatever. My wife's rental car was a GMC Terrain.
Okay? Right.
I want to say the Hyundai had a lot of miles on it. A lot. My wife puts like 30,000 miles on the car every year. So we were like a couple of months away from maybe buying a new car.
Yeah.
She says, I really like this Terrain. It's so much nicer than when I'm driving it. I love everything. Oh, it's great. It's great. It's great. So I went online. I looked, and Terrain was having a massive sale, year-end Terrain sale of all the things, right? GMC, employee pricing, whatever. So I end up going to the dealership, and they offer me, this is the Scamboni, all right? They advertise employee pricing and really good financing. But when you go in, get that Scamboni music ready.
Right.
They when you sit down for the car, what they tell you is, oh no, if you get the employee, the good price, the really good price, right? The $10,000 off price, then the interest rate's 3.4%. If you want the decent price, then we give you the good interest. So you can't get both. So they mislabel. So major Scamboni. So I go, okay, I'm not going to shop here. You know why? Because
it's a Scamboni.
It's a Scamboni. Yeah, we know. So I tweet out, anybody know anything about a Terrain, GMC, whatever. Shady Jew Mobster, our boy, I told this story on the Stereo app, just going to make it quick, hooked me up, we got a new Terrain, great. So now I've got a new Dodge Charger, which I told you guys about.
Yes.
My car is 2 months old, and my wife's car is, at this point, like a week old.
Well, I'm driving
my daughter on Sunday of last week.
Here it comes.
Dad, I want to go to Target and Walmart. Okay. Go to Target. We go to Walmart. We're coming back on a main road. Not a highway, but a main, like a route, right? And I'm in the middle lane, and there's a minivan to my left, and the guy, blue minivan, decides he's going to make a turn and change into the middle lane. Here's the problem. I'm in that lane.
Oh, okay? No.
I'm in that lane. He turns right into me.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Nope, my brand new car. So the front of his car, the right fender of his car, front fender, hits my left rear fender.
I'm sorry.
I just got the car.
Three times.
Third accident in a month.
Three times a
All
charm.
All three of my cars.
Three times a charm. Dude, don't stand next to me when we're outside somewhere. I feel like a piano is going to fall out of the fucking sky.
So now, I don't know what happened to me at this point, but I start yelling. I'm banging on my steering wheel. My daughter's in the car. I'm like, no, 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 no. Right? I'm like, I can't believe what's happened.
I'm not going in on Powerball or Mega Millions with you either.
Okay, so I get out of the car, and I do one of these, like, God damn it, in the middle of the road. I'm in the middle of a major highway. This guy pulls in behind me. He's got tinted windows, right? Dark windows. Not black, but dark. And I go, roll down your window. Now, listen, I don't recommend doing this. I'm smart enough as the son of a police officer to know not to do this, but I did it anyway. I go, roll down your window. Give me your insurance. Okay, so he rolls down, the window goes down, and it's a guy who looks like he's, I don't know, early 20s, maybe? Late teens, early 20s. I go, great, okay, young driver, it happens, whatever. Okay, give me your license and insurance, please. And there's a girl in the front seat about his age, and there might be people in the back I can't see. And again, it hasn't occurred to me yet, I could get shot, right? Like, I should not be doing this. The guy gives me his driver's license, and it says he was born in 1954, which would make him 60, you know.
Right.
Right? 66, 65 years old.
Dude, you can go on for, this could be a separate podcast. I mean, literally, you and your car woes.
I'll tell you what, I won't tell you the problem with my rental car. I'm just going to tell you this story.
It's just nonstop.
I'll save the rental car. So the guy's like, I said, this is not your driver's license. He goes, yes, it is. I said, dude, you're not bald, because he had an afro, short curly hair. He's from the Dominican Republic. That's part of the story. And so I said, you're not bald, and you're not 66 years old.
Oh, God.
Can I please have your driver's license? So he's trying to pass off somebody else's driver's license.
Dude, he obviously doesn't have one.
So he hands me his Dominican Republic ID, which has no value to me here in America, for driving a car on the park, on the route. So I go, you know what? Hold that thought. I call the police. I tell them what's going on. The police come flying in. I said, stay here. I take a picture of his ID, the driver's license. The guy comes out of the back. He slides the minivan.
You've had a lot of run-ins with the cops. You've had a lot of interactions with the police.
Yes. Okay. So the sirens are going. I see them up the road by like a quarter mile. They're coming. This guy gets out of the car now, the guy whose driver's license it was. He walks over to my car. I don't think he speaks a lot of English. Because he looks, he goes, he's nodding, like that. Like, as if the damage to my car is nothing, right? Because it's like, the blue is all over my car, it's deep scratches.
Your brand new car, how old is this car?
My brand new, about 2 months, 2 months old, right? So listen, he's driving a piece of shit minivan, and I've driven many pieces of shit in my life. And maybe some people live with a scratch or a dent, right? Like, oh, give me $500, I don't care. This is a brand new car. And more importantly, I lease it, which means I'm responsible for the damage. So I go, oh, no, it's not nothing. I said, you're going to pay for this. Hey, wait, he's waving at it like, yeah, it's nothing. Like,
nothing.
So he gets back in the car and they're sitting there. They're not trying to get away. The police officers show up. Now, Scary, you know me. You know I'm mask crazy, right? I'm Joe Mask. I'm not wearing a mask.
Wow.
So upset, I jumped out of the car, and I'm yelling at people.
I mean, this is your baby. It's your pride and joy.
So the officer gets out of the car, in the first car, and I see there's another car coming up the road, the second car. And I said, officer, this is what's going on. This guy just hit me. He's got no license. He lied. Now the older guy is sitting in the driver's seat, pretending he was the driver.
Ah, so they're gonna do a little bait and switch. Was that the guy on the guy on the license?
No, the guy. Yeah, the guy who came out and said that my damage was nothing. I said, "Officer, this is what happened." And now the guy's sitting behind the wheel like he was driving. It was the kid driving. And he goes, all right. So okay. So the officer's not wearing a mask either. Okay. He goes over, deals with them. I get back in my car. My daughter says, "Dad, you're not wearing a mask." Oh, crap. I put my mask on. I go back outside. And the officer now is talking to the other officer who just pulled up. They both have their masks on now. So I walk over. I say, "Officer, here's my license and insurance card. I'm terribly sorry. I realize now I didn't have a mask on when I first approached you." And he starts yelling at me. My mother's in the hospital. You could have got me sick.
Wow.
I wanted to say, you weren't wearing a mask either.
Right, but you're not going to do that to the guy who needs, you need him on your side right now.
Right,
don't need to make any more fucking enemies.
Right, and keep in mind, I felt terrible. Like, I felt really bad.
That's okay. Shit happens. You're in the moment.
Right, so I get back in my car. He comes over and he says, "Listen, this clearly was not your fault." He says, "Just tell me again what happened. What lane were you in?" I said, "Tell him whatever." So he says, "Well, you know what? You must have been in his blind spot when he tried to change lanes." I said, "Officer, I was ahead of him."
Right.
His front of his car hit my rear.
Yeah.
And he goes, "Oh, you're right. Oh, that's even
worse."
So
you got him. You got him.
Yeah, so I got him.
Hopefully the story has a happy ending. I don't know what to do with you. You're a menace to society. You should stay locked in for the next year and a half.
How am I a menace to society driving 30 miles an hour on a 35 road?
All you are is a ball of misfortune.
That's the case.
Bad luck everywhere you go.
Yes.
Stop interacting with the public.
So I had to call the insurance company.
David Broody, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, okay. So one last thing. So I call the insurance company. It's Progressive. You know, Flow.
Right.
So I call up and I tell them what happened. They're like, "Okay, you know, we have to see the police report, but we'll take care of it. If it's our fault, no problem."
God.
I said, "Listen, let me give you a heads up." Woman's name was Amanda. I said, "Amanda, you sound very nice. I'm giving you a heads up. And I'll tell you the second part of the story next episode." I said, "Just want to lay the groundwork. You're going to pay for my satellite radio."
By the way, does that go into a whole other story?
Of course, dude.
Oh, God.
Okay, don't listen to the podcast, Greg. What can I tell
you? No, listen to the podcast. I don't know, man.
This is my life. This is why we have 158 episodes.
No, I understand that. I get it. What I don't get is maybe you and I approach situations differently. I don't know.
What would you have done?
I got drama in my life. We all do, but not to the level you do. No, you're not wrong.
Which part was I wrong?
You're not
driving
wrong.
Driving straight
just
and a guy hit my new car.
Just a series of unfortunate chain of events.
I should write a series of books.
Three of your cars get fucking smashed.
Yeah,
three
but that's them. No fault of. That's not my fault.
I never said it was your fault.
I'm not a magnet behind the fenders pulling other cars.
I don't get it. It's a whole.
All right, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you the rental car story next week.
Wow.
Why don't you enlighten us, Scary, with a positive, upbeat story from a real winner? Go ahead.
From a real winner.
Yeah, you're a winner. Clearly, I'm a jinx. So
I'm not saying you're a loser. Wait, no, hold on. That would imply that you're a loser.
No.
You're not a loser.
I'm implying that you have nothing but success in your life. So
no,
why don't you give us a story?
I never said that. I never said I had all successes. But all I just can't bring myself to wrapping my head around all the trials and tribulations that you go through in a given week. Well, like, you go through a lot of shit. I feel bad for you. I don't know.
But that's why our slices all send me emails and tweets and DMs about how they also got free dessert.
No, that's great. I believe in the free dessert. I preach from that Bible. I really do. You've taught me over the years.
What would you do here? Okay.
Last
week I told you the cable from my headphones broke. Right?
Yes.
My headphones are a couple of years old. The cable stopped working.
Right.
So I went on Amazon and I looked for the highest rated coiled headphone cable. Okay?
Yes.
I found one that's like a 4.7 rating. And it's got almost 13,000 reviews. So it's not like they're all fake. 13,000. I read the reviews of hundreds of headphone cords. I went on eBay, look for the best ones.
Right.
Now, I'm not looking to spend a lot of money. I only use the cord one day a week when you and I do this podcast.
Right.
Okay?
Okay.
I get the cord. It's coiled like an old telephone wire.
Yes.
So it stretches. And it says up to 4 feet. Well, I sit here next to this microphone, and you know I have an arm that extends.
Yeah,
it's like it's got a hinge, and so it goes up and then down and then up.
Right.
And then like a W.
Yeah. No, I know. I know what it looks like.
Right. And so getting ready for the podcast, it arrived today, and I plugged it into the microphone and the other end into my headphones, and it's so short, it pulled the microphone at my head.
I know why.
Because it's too short.
Yeah, because it says up to 4 feet. That means right. It may not be 4 feet.
Right.
Here comes the Scamboni jingle again.
It's actually like 1 foot.
Scamboni.
That's correct.
Because you see the word four feet. Oh, the word four feet. Feet. It's up to four. Right. No, but it says up to 4 feet.
Right.
It's like when you get when you see that a discount up to 50%, you know you're getting 20.
I know that.
So?
But I thought if it's up to 4 feet, it's got to be good for two and a quarter. No, it's good for a foot and maybe an inch. Maybe 13 inches total. And I stretched it. Now it looks like I've used it. It's going to be harder to return. Amazon takes everything back. But that's a Scamboni. Up to 4 feet.
Complete Scamboni.
Yeah, if I tied one end to my one car that was in an accident and tie the other end to the other car that was in an accident, I could stretch it far enough to be 4 feet.
Brody, you...
Now I have to use this old shitty cable. Damn it. That's not my fault.
Yes, it is. Okay, that was preventable. That was preventable.
Yes.
That was preventable.
How? I did the research.
Nope.
I got the highest rated.
You got the highest rated. Was it the highest priced?
No, dude, I'm not paying $50 for a cable.
Well, that's your problem. See, sometimes you got to pay a little more because you get what you pay for. And we all know this by now. The issue with the highest rated... With Amazon's choice, and they do this with every fucking product, is it's Amazon's choice because it's the most popular, it's selling the most. But most people are just spending the least that they can, so they're rating it high for whatever reason, and it becomes Amazon's choice. Everyone's eyeball, or that might be the one that they just want to move the most of because they make the most profit on. That's why it's Amazon's choice. They got the highest profit margin on that fucking item. Okay, but if you I know you do your research. I know you're a smart guy. But sometimes logic would dictate, sometimes, that the more you pay for something, the better quality you're going to get. That's not always the case, but then you would go into then you would compare it side by side. Say, am I getting ripped off on this high? This is a high priced item.
100%.
So then you find out the lowest price of the high priced item. But you know you're getting garbage. If you spend nothing,
I'm looking at the reviews, right? Nisha, great cord. You won't regret buying. I regret buying. Amanda, just what I needed. 5 stars. Perfect. Irving says, trust. Jason, R. Bowman, good cables. Great price.
All right. Some of those were fake reviews. And others.
They did a whole. I drive a semi truck and assign a different truck every shift. Right. I drive long shifts, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Bluetooth,
but
blah,
for
blah, blah,
that blah. Person, for their purposes, what they're using it for, it's probably perfect. Or they don't know what good quality shit is. So they can't judge because they have nothing to compare it to. See, you can't take shortcuts all the time. Listen, I know, you're sounding bougie again. I know there's people saying that. I'm fine, say that. But what I'm saying is this is what we do for a living. Yeah. And I never understood, hold on, I'm going to make a point here for everybody.
$3.7 million, I got it.
You always have to invest in your craft, okay? We do radio and radio-like things, podcasts and broadcasts for a living. To me, I'm going to buy this motherfucking microphone. It costs more than the other microphones, but I know it's a higher quality. I know I'm going to get good results out of it because I'm investing in my future and in my industry and what I do for a living. This is how I make my money overall, right? So you, Brody, are in the same category with the headphones. So shame on you for not going for the highest fidelity, highest quality cord or whatever it is that you could find with the higher price. Unfortunately, it's the same way I don't like when, if you're a plumber for a living or you're a carpenter, all right, and you're a freelance, in the beginning, when you're starting out, you may not have the best tools to work with. But as you look toward your future, don't you reinvest and don't you try and get the best tools, the best power saw, the best hammer, jack, whatever the hell you use in that. Or if you're, you understand what I'm saying? Like you have to invest in your industry if you can. If you're a nurse or a doctor and you buy a stethoscope, don't you want the better one? Don't you want, like if you're a professional bowler, don't you want the best bowling ball or golf set if you're a professional guy, if you want to go pro or amateur, whatever? But that's my point, is focus on what your craft is.
All right.
And in that arena, splurge.
Okay. Okay.
I'm not trying.
So I'll spend $50 on a cable for a headset that I got for free at work. That doesn't make any sense.
Because
I'd rather just buy a new headset.
Then that's what you should have done. That's what I would have done. I didn't want to tell you that at the beginning. I'm like, I would have thrown the whole fucking headset away and just started over.
Yes, you would have.
Yes, I would have. Because it's not
worth a spendable income.
Because I don't want to get fucked and scambonied when I buy a cheap wire that says up to 4 feet and I'm trying to jerry-rig and scotch tape and spit together. I don't do that. I'm like, the thing is broken. Guess what? It served its purpose. How long have you had those headphones?
It doesn't matter.
A long time.
The point is, I wanted to buy a headphone. I wanted to buy the cable that came with the headphones, right? The headphones that I have for down here are from Monster, okay?
Right.
We got special iHeartRadio Monster.
Remember that. That was 10 years ago.
No, it was like 7. The point is, we haven't been iHeartRadio for 10 years, I don't think. Anyway, the cable is a Monster cable. You can't get that cable. You can't get it.
I understand. That's why you throw it away. You part with the item. You said it had a great run. I've used this for 7 years, every single fucking day of my life. And I happen to do, now people are disagreeing, but once again, you all are exempt from this conversation because you're not in the radio or broadcasting industry. So,
all right, yeah, you're a radio personality.
So it's okay for the, because they might not feel like you're justified, or I'm justified in saying that you should be spending top dollar for a headphone cable. But in our arena, for what we do, you and me need to go top.
But here's scary.
Top
the
line.
The issue wasn't the quality. I plugged it in. The sound quality was fine. The problem was it was too short, and it pulled the microphone towards my head. I thought a train was coming at me.
I know, but the thing is, I would have saved myself the problem. I would never had this issue because I would have just junked them. I would have parted. I would have had a funeral for them. I would have read a eulogy. See you later, headphones. I'm buying new headphones.
As you're on the way to the store,
and I'm not saying everybody else should do that, because I'm just saying we should. Be clear.
While you're on the way to the headphone store, right? Do you buy anything for your kids while you're there?
Okay, I know where you're going with this conversation.
Right. So again, you live the bachelor life, and everybody knows you're bougie boy. You spend $100 on a tie-dyed shirt.
Okay,
that life. I've got to pay 2 college tuitions starting in August, and I have to pay off I have a car lease.
No,
because I don't have Scary Jones money to buy it.
I understand.
So I'm not going to spend $100 on a cable.
I understand.
For a podcast that hopefully we'll be doing in a studio at work someday. This is a temporary folding table and folding chair.
You don't know that for a fact.
I'm not going to buy a. I know for a fact
They might say, we're selling all the furniture at the studios. You guys can do it fine from home. See you later. Everyone's working from home from now on. Peace out.
If that's the case, I will take the money I save from my Easy Pass bill and my tunnel charges and my whatever and my gas charges, and I will buy a better headset.
I'm not trying to tell you to take food out of your kid's mouth, but I'm saying because of your profession and this specific, everything in this world should be top line priority whenever you get extra cash, because I'm sure you've squandered money on things that were much more expensive that have nothing to do with
squandered radio. If I buy a better television set, that's because it's better.
That's fine. That's good. That's TV.
That's not squandering.
That's TV. That's good. That's good. But there are things.
I don't squander.
It's gotta be things.
You know, what do I squander? What do I spend money on that I shouldn't?
I don't know. Yeah. I haven't been in your.
Do I spend a lot of money on
You won't
fancy
let me
clothes?
In your house because you think
That's
I have
right.
COVID.
You got the vid. I don't trust you. Of course, I'm yelling at police officers and people from the Dominican Republic with no mask on. So who am I?
Well, those are unfortunate incidents, and that happens to everybody. But the fact that you had three in a row like that, those are some fucking zingers.
The car accident now officially is, let's see, 7, 8, 9, 10. Roughly 11 or 12 days, 11 days. Uh-huh. So I feel like I'm safe. I feel like I didn't get it, and hopefully I didn't give it because I didn't have it. So I feel like I'm good.
So,
but the first couple of days, I was worried. I was.
Yeah. No, I don't blame you. I don't blame you. Now, you know, here's how you would... Okay, so here's another thing, right? Last week, I was telling you about my Easy Pass, right? I was suspended for 60 days on...
Yeah, because you're a speedster. You're a speedster.
No, and it wasn't my fault.
You don't get into car accidents.
But you know,
the speed limit.
You know damn well, Brody. You know damn well was something.
Speedy Jones.
No, that's
hashtag
something.
Speedy Jones. Yeah.
I'm making a point.
Go ahead.
You know that was something that I could fight, right? And I could probably get on the phone and spend all my days.
Yes.
Right.
And you said you're going to. I know you did.
And you said to me, I would have done the same thing because you, Skiri, you're in the right in this case. You're in the right.
That's right.
Yep.
Right.
Okay. You know what I did? I said, fuck it. I'm not sitting. I called Easy Pass once. It says your wait time is over 1 hour. I said, suck my dick. I am not about to. I am.
Is that what you did while you were on hold?
I tried. I had plenty of time to try.
Yeah,
I hung up the phone. I said no because I my time is too precious. So you know what I'm going to do.
I got to use the Dave Brody method.
No, but here's what I
hold
on.
You call from the house phone. You put it on speaker. You leave it on the counter.
I did that.
You go about your business.
Yeah, but I don't want to sit around. I'm like I have things to do.
Really, you're not in your house for an hour. There's not an hour of your day where you're in the house.
And you're just walking around doing other things and just leaving on speaker.
Yeah, you're cooking, you're eating, you're in the bathroom. It's not, the phone's in the bathroom. It's a side thing.
My point is nothing changes because the stupidity of the Easy Pass is the following. It doesn't catch the tag because it's out of my car because I'm suspended. So it catches my plate instead. And you know what it does? It puts it right on my fucking credit card statement, except on the statement... all the dates previously, it has it reading my tag, and then all the dates after that, it has it reading my license plate.
So and there's no fine.
And there's no fine. No, every time I go through, it's the same price, and it goes right to my license plate. So guess what?
Right.
It all goes to the same place. So is it really worth me fighting? Now, if it was you would have done it just to stand on circumstance because you had to prove a point.
They would have given me money. They would have given me credit on my account.
Well, that's the difference between you and me. What can I say?
Yeah, they're damn right. That's one of the many.
One of them.
But listen, in the old days, until Easy Pass, we used to have cash lanes and Easy Pass lanes.
Right.
If you went through, they charged you a
$25,
fee.
Yeah.
Then you had to go online and show them that you had an account, right. Even though they could easily,
that
with
doesn't
their
exist anymore. In
stupid
fact,
website,
yeah.
Find out you had an account. No, now it's like anyone can drive through. No. This way, if you don't have a pass, you can still go through and they charge
as long as
you.
As long as your license plate's registered, you can go through. But if there are cash lanes there and you go through Easy Pass, no, you can't
do that.
But fact, the Holland Tunnel is all cashless, so it doesn't matter. So to me, it's like, what is the saying? Six and one half dozen of the other? It doesn't matter.
Six of one, yeah.
Six of one. But you would have
How long are you suspended for?
60 days.
60 days.
And I don't give a fuck. Let it go. I don't care. They're not...
Scofflaw.
No. You understand. Every morning I go through without the tag, there is no cash lanes. So it just registers as my license plate instead of the tag. It doesn't matter. Well, Nothing changes.
If they open up a cash lane one day, you're screwed.
Well, then I have to go to cash. Then I have to sit on the cash line.
Yeah.
And I have to take my lumps. How many lumps do you want?
Oh, three or four. The Brooklyn Boys Podcast with Brody and Skiri.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from The Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Again, a classic Pete Puma from Bugs Bunny cartoon reference.
And we both did it at the same time because we just knew.
Yeah. We knew.
That was before the commercial.
Go ahead. I want to hear what you have to say.
We're way behind on some email I wanted to get through because people are like, well, what's up?
I mean, we have two sound clips.
Yeah, let's play those.
All right. So I got a message from this guy. It sounds very important. The only thing is, and I'm not going out of my way to slow it down, and I don't know what he's saying, who he wants, or what his phone number is. And you don't have to tell me what it is if you figure it out. But play the first message he left for me. If you could figure out what he said, I'll call him back.
D6AM. This is Vega, please. I call it back 908-451-3842, Mr. Vega.
Mr. Biggin.
Mr. Lava Lava.
Mr. Lava.
Mr. Lava Lava.
So I thought maybe he had a bad connection. Mm-hmm. He calls back next day.
Is this a live person or is this a robot?
No, this is a guy. He called my house the next day. He played the second message.
So can you please call Vega? 908-451-3842. 908, excuse me. 451-3842.
Vegas, Vegas. It's the bigger Vegas.
It sounded like he had a headset on and he had a shitty wire attached to his headphones.
It sounded like he had a head. Sounded like he had a head injury. I don't know what he's trying to say.
Mr. Biggin.
He seemed annoyed.
He definitely left.
He seemed annoyed.
Yeah.
This is the second he's like, please call me. Right. Mr. Biggie.
Like you didn't listen.
Didn't you hear the number?
Didn't you hear the gibberish I just left you? Why don't you call me back?
Right. Yeah. Right. Then he didn't know the number.
Can you call Al Biggin? 908-441-3842.
Al Biggin?
908, excuse me.
By me, carry the 3, divided by 4, times 6, square root of 4, call me.
Is that the guy that hit you?
No.
You say you didn't speak English.
Mr. Biggin. So listen, I don't know if he's Mr. Biggin or he's calling Mr. Biggin.
Mr. Biggin. I'm going to register that on, don't take that on Twitter. I'm going to get it. All social media, I'm registering Mr. Biggin.
And I'm getting it
You get it on Parler.
I can't get my own name now.
What the fuck? I don't know. Did he ever call back after that?
No.
That was the end of him?
No. So I feel like maybe I'll try to figure out the phone number. I'll look on my caller ID, see if it came up, and then I'll tape the call.
Right.
I'll call him.
I hope he solved his problem.
You know, he's stewing, right? He's going, son of a bitch, Biggin didn't call me. I left him two messages.
Mail time. That
sounds like it's mail time.
Welcome. You've got mail.
You can always email us at thebrooklynboyspodcast@gmail.com. Noel Johnson says, hey, what up, guys? Y'all read an email on episode 151 from my buddy David about his hotel problem. Just wanted to say, eat a dick, David, not Brody. Yeah. Loving y'all from the RVA, Slice for Life Jar. So Noel wanted to get, apparently, we must have talked about him. He must have talked about him in the email we read. So that was his way of getting back at it.
By the way, Scary, do you know what the RVA stands for?
That's Richmond, Virginia.
Very nice. Okay.
Oh, the RVA, of course. RVA, Richmond, Virginia.
But he said it like everyone should know. Like, I wonder if people are like, what the hell's the RVA?
The RVA. The RVA. Hey, what was going on in Alabama the other night with that game? Holy shit. In Tuscaloosa? Well, did you see the streets?
Yeah, that's not going to end well for a lot of people.
That was jam-packed.
They all pulled a David Brody getting out of his car in an accident.
Every last one of them. They were in a celebratory mood. They had...
The virus doesn't spread.
Roll Tide won. They beat the Ohio State Buckeyes.
I saw an article on Facebook that says when your team wins a national championship, COVID doesn't spread. So you know it's true. I saw it on Facebook.
It's true. Cassie Brzozowski said, this is short and sweet, guys. Want to thank you for keeping the podcast going through the pandemic. My son was born the day quarantine started for me. Needless to say, it's been an emotional roller coaster being a first-time mom in a pandemic. I've been a slice since the beginning, and my son has been a slice since the start of life. Couldn't have done it without you two. Love you both. Hashtag raising him right, Cassie. Thank you, Cassie. I love hearing stories like that. It means that we have purpose. Get some tweets together in the meantime there, Brody. YankeeFanDan90@gmail.com says, Happy New Year. Love you guys. All the way from North Idaho. Listening to you guys while running my dozer. All caught up. What's the bulldozer? Really?
Is that like she's saying D's are wrong?
No, dozer. All caught up finally. And now I have to wait. Well, you know, a lot of people used. There's a picture of they sent the picture of them out in the field in the bulldozer. Oh, that's a bulldozer, all right. You know, I do like the fact that people are catching up, because now maybe more people will be able to hear the show in less time. You know what I'm saying? Like with less time going by, meaning it's more current. You know, I like that.
No, I have no clue.
You don't want more people. You don't want people. You don't want more people to catch up.
I do want them to catch up.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
Of course I do.
And you love ketchup.
Oh, I do. In fact, I'm going to read something for someone who mentioned Heinz ketchup. When it's time my turn to read something.
Go for it.
All right, so got a DM, I think it was today, from J-C's Up Close. J-C's Up Close. J-S-E-E-S Up Close on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
She mostly wrote it about me, but put you first, so that's a fail right there. But she says, Merry New Year. I'm listening in order. Loved 103. Scary Majewing the Brunch. And 106, Brody's Rage at the Perfect Dinner. Remember you and I went out to dinner, nothing was wrong?
Yes. That was crazy.
She wrote, scallions, no parsley, no dill, yes, Heinz, no hidden pickle. That was my Chick-fil-A reference.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are the best, and I'm sure many slices feel like I do, that you are the bright spot in these mad times. So thank you very much. That's very cool, and I'm glad you're... I think last week I said 113 was the dill, so it was 103, I guess. You had a three.
Well, I'll say
113
this.
Is fisted and forked.
That dinner, that meal that we had
at Sedell's,
at Sedell's. The perfect one.
Oh, the place in
you were ripping whatever was left of your hair out of your head.
I was so mad.
You were so angry.
Scary.
Scary. Yeah.
There's no need to offend.
Oh, okay. Not because you never do that to me. Brody wanted something to rant about that night. He wanted so bad to be...
Everything was perfect.
And
well, go listen to 106. You'll hear it. You guys heard it. You listen in order.
What else you got?
So let's see. Jasmine Quintana, cracking up. Did I read this one already? She went to the Chinese food place? Just went to my local Chinese food place. The lady was there to pick up food. She was having a difficult time understanding the worker and proceeded to demand a soda, but not just any soda, a grape soda. I almost lost my shit waiting for my own food. Slice for life. We good. So let's see. Where's that rebate form? I have something about a rebate.
While you're finding that, Michael Rempkowski said, using my name in vain. Hey, Skiri and Brody, I got one small rant about Brody. I've listened since zero and email you guys every once in a while. While I've been listening, I can't help but notice Brody always uses Mike as a knockoff generic branded term or item. Play the rant music here. Oh, he wants me to play Curb Your Enthusiasm.
No, you don't get the rant music. Okay, I appreciate you wanting it, but go ahead.
Well, God forbid I was to open up any shop with the name Mike in it or brand something I create with the name Mike without it already having a negative effect from Brody constantly referring to knockoff products like Mike's Superior Paper Towels or Mike's Greasy Used Car Lot. That's it. Brody, please give all names equal opportunity to be generic.
All right.
He left his phone number. Hold on. He left his phone number. And he wanted us to call him, and he wanted to tell it to us on the podcast. That's too late for that.
No. Joel _ the jeweler. I have to make sure I haven't read these already. I apologize if I have. I got a $50 refund from Amazon today because they sent the wrong color office chair. They wanted to give me $37. I said, round it up to an even 50, and then we'll be good. Free dessert. So there you go, Joel the jeweler.
Oh, okay. There was a part two to Michael's email.
Oh, damn it. Okay.
No, it's schlasagna.
I love it. Okay.
I ordered two tires for a race coming up, and they showed delivered on the app, and the driver specified left on the porch. By the way, they always do that, which I thought is a bad spot because they're completely exposed. Also, I have special instructions on my Amazon to throw tires over my RV gate to the backyard. I get home, and guess what? No tires. Amazon tells me, no problem, ship two more. Two tires came in. They threw them over the gate. A few days later, a ring at my doorbell around 9 o'clock. I answer, and it's a guy from down the street who had random tires thrown over his gate. He just noticed. He said, I don't have a car that these tires fit, so I bought them. So the correct address, to the correct address, which was me. Here you go. Called Amazon back and tell the guy what happened. He says, keep all of them for the trouble. Boom, free shit for me. Hashtag not a scambrody. By the way, what does that have to do with lasagna? I thought it was going to be like shit lasagna. He had me going in a different direction there. But whatever the case, right. Michael. By the way, here's the one little mistake you made, because it would have opened you up to a bigger error. You called Amazon and you told them the tires were found. By that point, it was 2 weeks later, whatever it was. Fuck it. It's over. They're not looking for those tires. They already sent you the new ones.
He's an honest man. He's an honest man.
I know, but there could have been. They could have opened it up to, all right, yeah. All right, we're going to send you a return box, and you just bring it over to the, you know what I'm saying? Like, who knows if they would have wanted them back.
Yeah. I just want to mention a couple of people I asked to send me their free dessert stories to my brody@elvisduran.com email address. Haven't had a chance to read them yet. I apologize. But if you're wondering why we haven't read them yet, I haven't had a chance. I got to go in there and like read them all, organize them all. Haven't had a chance. I haven't forgotten about them. Just haven't had a chance. Akash, A-K-A-S-H. I'm assuming that's the pronunciation. Hey, Brody. Happy holidays. Hope you're enjoying your break. This is from a couple of weeks ago. Just want to let you know that I finally started listening to the Brooklyn Boys podcast from episode zero, and it's very entertaining and funny. I thoroughly enjoy it and appreciate the time that you and Skiri take in producing it. Much love. Wishing you and your family, blah, 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 blah. So welcome aboard, Akash.
Yeah.
That's very nice. So this was the review that Raul left for us. Right, Raul?
Raul.
Yep, we talked to Raul, right? He went on Yelp and left a review for Sedel's, the Dill Jewish restaurant. And he wrote 2 stars. The Brooklyn Boys came to the restaurant and they had to endure six-inch bottle of Diet Coke. The food had Dill in it and David did not enjoy it. I personally have never been there, but heard it on the podcast, FU Abe 77. So Yelp and Sedel's reported it, and they took it down, but Raul had our back. Now, this is the funniest thing I got sent in the past week. Shout out to, Randy Michelle Sabo. I believe she's a big Met fan. I saw this commercial the day after she sent this to me, because I don't normally watch commercials. It is an Allstate commercial with a lunar, like a moon lander, like a moon buggy, going across the surface of the moon, okay? I don't know. They're rambling about insurance, whatever. And these 2 astronauts are in this moon buggy.
Yeah.
And at one point, they must hit a ramp, whatever, or like a high part of the moon. And the car goes flying over a crater. And because it's, you know, there's no gravity up there or less gravity, it goes really far and then lands. And at the bottom of the screen, like most car commercials, it says, do not attempt.
Always.
Right. As if you're going to be in a dune buggy on the moon.
On the moon.
With limited gravity.
Yes.
If you are.
Do not attempt.
Do not attempt jumping the crater on the moon. Like, I think at that point, you don't need to mention that.
No. You know what? That's a bunch of fucking legal suits sitting in a room, right, like hyper-focusing on every little thing. And, you know, sometimes they're too good for
right, but have fun with it.
Yeah,
you should write, if you're on the moon.
If you're on the moon, don't attempt this.
But right. Then some idiot's going to go, I'm going to get in a dune buggy here on Earth, and I'm going to jump a crater, kill myself, and my family's going to sue Allstate.
Right. Well, that's the cover your ass legal team. Definitely had to have that in there.
Thank you, Randy. That's a great catch. Also, I made a joke that nobody got. Well, some people got, but most people didn't understand the joke. I don't know if this is true or not. It's irrelevant to the story. But when last week, when people were losing their social media accounts, right? And people were getting bumped off social media platforms. It looked like Olive Garden rescinded Sean Hannity's lifetime pasta pass. Sean Hannity, of course, from Fox News. And so they sent out an official graphic, looked very authentic, and it said, due to the incidents in Washington, blah, blah, blah. In response, Olive Garden has invalidated our never-ending pasta pass for several guests and revoked a lifetime pasta pass from Sean Hannity, right? So it looked real. I don't care if it's real or not. So I sent out a joke and I said, if they really want to punish him, they'll send him a second one.
A second.
You get it?
Oh, because the food is so bad there.
Right.
You're making a joke about Olive Garden's food, which,
right,
by the way, some people love. I like the breadsticks and the tour of Italy, but okay.
They're a target for jokes, whatever.
I know.
Okay. I'm filing that under,
Yeah. Now, remember we spoke about me and Ed's pizza few weeks ago?
Yes, me and Ed's. Terrible grammar, decent pizza.
And they're looking for people to franchise them out. And you're like, who in their right mind would be like, it's fucking me and Ed's. Well, Efren Lopez wrote to the Brooklyn Boys podcast Facebook page and sent me this message. I'm from Tulare, California, near Fresno. Just want to chime in about me and Ed's. It's a Northern California chain, and it is far superior than other chain restaurants. One of my favorite pizza spots when I want a cheaper chain pizza. It's a thin crust that doesn't taste like cardboard with a slight spicy and herby taste. Unfortunately, we don't have pizzerias out here like the quality you guys have, but hope to get one day. I hope to go out to New York one day and see what it's all about. Love you guys. Keep it up. Well, I would say in that case, Efren, buy a plane ticket. They're very cheap this time of year. And
when I looked on the map,
you
got to
try
like almost.
Pizza. You got to try.
When I looked at the map, it looked like almost all of them were in Los Angeles. So maybe it's a California thing overall. When you listen to the bonus episode we're putting up in a couple of days, you'll get this reference. But Efren, if you want really good pizza, there's a gas station in Iowa you should try.
It's called. Was it Charlie's? What was it?
I don't know. I don't remember the name. So, but it's gas station pizza. So listen to the bonus episode, which will be episode 159, and you will hear all about Iowa's best pizza located in a gas station. Now, Scary, I got a DM here from somebody who was very proud of the fact they didn't get taken advantage of. Right? They used my theory and of, you know, even is not even. Mm-hmm. But I want your opinion, Scary, on how you feel it worked out. William Rivera wrote me, free dessert, purchased a car from CarMax in Connecticut. But before all that happened, the sales rep said they would deliver it to me in the Bronx. Okay, so the Bronx is maybe an hour or so from Connecticut, depending on which part of Connecticut, okay? Another sales rep
actually
called and
they're,
said, we only deliver 60 miles out, and I live 70 miles away from the dealership.
Okay.
I said, let me talk to a manager. Got a call back 5 minutes later, and the rep stated, we don't cross borders, and I would have to come up to the lot to pick the car up if I wanted it. So I said, that wasn't what I was told. I was told it wouldn't be a problem for you to deliver the car here. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you mentioned that you record all the conversations for quality assurance. Why don't you go listen to the conversation? So they call him back the next day stating they made a mistake on their part. They offered to get me a lift and pick my wife and I and drive us up 70 miles north, which would have cost $125. I looked it up on the Lyft app. Long story short, they drove me there and I drove home in my new car. Long time listener since episode zero. Listening in order, hashtag
great soul.
Okay. Here's the problem. Here's the problem why he's not a true Jedi master. And I told him this, and he's like, you're right. Okay? What I wrote was, although if you want to be a master, they should have given you some kind of credit for making you drive both ways and invest your time and effort
and gas
when the car was supposed to be delivered.
Yes.
So you just put 70 miles on your new car, gave up at least 2 hours of your time. So although they tried to screw you big time, they ended up screwing you less because you stood up for yourself. They still screwed you.
They did. Yeah.
Because if they only deliver 60 miles, then you should have driven 10 miles and had them meet you there.
That's right.
That's what Elaine did on Seinfeld when they wouldn't deliver the fish from the Chinese restaurant. She pretended to live closer and stood in the doorway.
That was a classic episode.
Well,
you know what?
So, William, you did well, William, but you're not quite there yet.
You could do better. So.
Right.
All right, Brody. That's about all we got for the moment.
That's not all I got.
I got pages of shit too. But what do you want to do? I'm looking at this clock here. We got to.
All right, I want to read one more thing. There's a guy on Instagram. He runs an account. You know how everyone has OnlyFans, right? You know what OnlyFans is?
Oh, absolutely.
It's a subscription based service where you can see nudie girls.
Right behind paywalls. Yeah.
Right, or whatever they have. I've never paid, I don't know, but OnlyFans is like, you're only my fans.
Well, you're supposed to give exclusive content. We were thinking about opening the Brooklyn Boys one, but we don't know what the fuck we'd post.
Right. So there's a guy on Instagram who, his name is OnlyPans, and his logo is a frying pan, And everything on his Instagram page is cooking and frying pans.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, only pans. So he wrote to me, because obviously he's trying to be clever, only pans. He said, if you ever have a segment that requires a specialist on frying pans, I think you know who to call. So I wrote back, yes, my friends at PanHub. And I wrote it the way Pornhub does.
Right.
And so he wrote, fuck, how haven't I thought of that? So I said, I'm a pro. And I said, oh, he wrote back, his favorite category on Pornhub is step pan. I don't know what that is. Like stepsisters, stepbrothers.
Okay. He's trying too hard there.
I said that took too long. He goes, I'm sorry, I cracked under pressure. So I said, the best category on PanHub is pansexuals.
Hi-o.
And guys with big walks. So I said, how did you miss pansexual?
Doesn't get any better than that.
The boys know.
I got so much for next week, I can't wait.
Because
I'm from
Brooklyn! The boys from Brooklyn! Brooklyn! The boys from Brooklyn!
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.